Glory to God. Too quiet in here.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, man, we're Pentecostal, I believe. Wow. You know, I was thinking in Luke, you know, there's a lady in Luke that had a spirit of infirmity, and she was bent over for 18 years. She walked for 18 years like this. 18 years. Do you suppose she was crying out to God to heal her? For 18 years, she couldn't look up. She was bent over, the scriptures teach us in Luke. I wonder, in the very day she got healed, Jesus was teaching in a synagogue on repentance. And she was there. What if she hadn't been there that day? You see how important it is to be in church? That could be the day that you receive freedom, a change in your life for all eternity, amen? So I want to encourage people. I can't say that about you. You're here today. But I'm just saying that when we do, other things become more important. Just think what would have happened to this lady if she decided, oh, I don't feel too good today. I think I'll just stay home. I'm tired of walking with my head face to the ground. But she had gone to the synagogue, and that day Jesus was there. And he said to her, come here. And immediately she was healed. Come with expectation every Sunday. Amen? You're saying, hey, preacher, don't meddle with me. I'm not. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we glorify you. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory and we give you all the honor. And Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit being here with us this morning. Lord, you said in your word where two or three are gathered in the midst that you are here. And Lord, I thank you and I praise you, Father, for what you're doing at Crossfire Assembly. Lord, I'm excited for what you have planned for Crossfire Assembly. As we stay steadfast in our faith and our walk with you, Lord, I believe that you will manifest what you desire in this church to be done. And we give you the praise and we give you the glory. Let your anointing be upon this congregation. I thank you for your faithful people, Lord, that you've raised up to be part of this body, Lord. And I ask that your anointing be upon me today, Lord, as I share the word. Let it again challenge our hearts and our lives. And let it help us to walk with you throughout the rest of our week, Lord, as we serve you out beyond these walls, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will continue to move in and through us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. 18 years. 18 years. Bent over. Wow. Some of us know what it's like to have infirmities, don't we, for a lot of years and things happening. And that is a very moving message if you get into it. And I want to expound on that someday here too, because I think it's incredible. Jesus was there. But anyway, today, our greatest enemy. And we all know who that is, don't we? We'll see. I'm not finished yet. Our text, and I'm going to be in the book of Romans today, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there are many famous battlegrounds, and there are places of great victories and monumental defeats throughout history of every sort and type, and even within the Bible, as we see the actual events that have happened there that have been victories and defeats throughout these battles. And many brave soldiers Many brave soldiers, men and women alike, have spilled their blood. They've spilled their blood upon a battlefield because they believed in a cause and they loved their country. And they're willing to spill their blood for that. But there are battles that are being fought every day that will never be chronicled in the annals of history. Many of them. And these unseen battles are being fought this very moment as we sit here this morning. They're being fought. The battleground is not a piece of terra firma, but the battle is not being fought for land, oil, or food, or political posturing. The stakes are much higher than that. The victory in this battle will realize a much greater reward. It'll be an eternal reward that we will receive. Amen? If there is a battle, we must fight, and the victory we must win. And this is it. Praise the Lord. If you ask the average Christian, what is the worst enemy of the Christian life? The most common answer will be like we had today, Satan. Right? I heard several of you say the devil, Satan, whatever. That he'd be the one we'd pick out. Who he is, isn't he? He is a deceiver. He goes around as a roaring lion and walks about seeking who he may devour. That's what he does. And I sure don't want to diminish the fact that Satan is a strong adversary to the church and the individual Christian. But he is not the greatest enemy. He is not the greatest enemy. Yeah, he is our adversary. I want to say that again. The thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and destroy. See, Satan comes and he wants to take everything he can from us, steal it from us, our hope, our joy, our peace, everything in our life. He tries to steal it away from us. And then he wants to kill us. And then he wants to utterly destroy us. He wants to take us to hell with him. That's his main purpose. And he's very good at what he does. And I don't diminish that one bit. But the Bible makes it plain that Satan is disarmed and humiliated. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Praise the Lord. It says in Colossians 2:15, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Jesus did that. And Jesus defeated him at Calvary and in hell when he took the keys of death and hell and the grave. Jesus defeated that old devil. He's a defeated foe. He's defeated. He arose victorious, Jesus did, and gave the victory to his church. That's you and I. No, Satan is not our greatest problem, though. He's not. Satan is a defeated foe. And guess what? God can't do any more of what he's already done. Did you know that? He's already done it. He won the victory at Calvary. Upon the cross. At the cross, he judged the devil and overthrew him and his host of demons. That's what Jesus did on Calvary, upon the cross. It was all finished. He took care of all of it. Demons alike. And guess what? We can resist this devil. We can resist this demons by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And in the name of Jesus, we can resist him. We say, "I resist you, Satan. Be gone. He's got to go. He's defeated. He can't stay in the name of Jesus. Not in your name or my name. He can't stay when you speak the name of Jesus. He's got to flee, and we can resist him." Isn't that incredible? Little old puny you and I can resist this devil that can destroy us. But he has no power because he's been defeated. Everything he does it through deceit and deception. Paul reveals your worst enemy. And guess who that is? Your worst enemy is yourself. And there's a lot of truth to that, isn't it? Our worst enemy is ourself. Every choice, every decision we make affects us some way, somehow. Either we will succeed or we will fail or we will just be complacent throughout life. All by ourselves, making our we can't blame everything on the devil. Like the one comedian many years ago would always keep saying, the devil made me do it. You can't blame everything on the devil. He's a defeated foe. And I know that he's active in our world. It's obvious today and even more and more. And here, each day you live, you carry your worst enemy around with you. You can't run away from yourself. Now, I'm probably closer to being able to run away from myself than any of you in here. I got a twin brother. So if I look back, I might see myself, but it really isn't me anyway. But I can't run away from myself ever. Everything that happens to me is with me, and when I run, it's going to run right along with me because it's me. And we have to remember that. Satan can momentarily be in a separate location from us. He can do that off and on. He can be here. He can be there. He's not like God. He can't be everywhere all the time like God can. But he can be there. And he sends his dominions to help him. And it's also possible to remove yourself from the influence of the world. You can remove yourself from all these things like television, movies, magazines, internet, and be unaffected by it. But you can never escape yourself. It'll always be there, even without those influences. And the enemy within is called the flesh because it is located in the body. Listen to this in Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And then we find later in verses 12 and 13 of Romans 6. Let not, did you hear that? Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. There you have a choice, don't you? Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. There we have it right there, don't we? We have a choice. God made us to have a choice. We choose. And we can either choose to sin or we can choose not to, according to what I'm reading here. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verses 23 and 24, he said, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this death? Paul cried out. He was frustrated and trying to get victory, and he'd find himself maybe doing some or saying things and acting things out that he prefer not to. Why is this happening, God? Who can deliver me? He struggled with it just like you and I. We think we got the victory, and maybe we've walked for years in victory, and all of a sudden something comes in and changes in our life, and we make a choice and a decision that brings destruction into our life or whatever. And we got to remember Paul here. See, the law of sin which is in our member is the sin nature inherited by Adam and Eve. That's in us. It's in us. We have evil hearts. Even after we're saved, we still have that sin nature within us. See, Paul cried out, who shall deliver? Not what or how or who, but here's what he said. And this is so exciting. This is exciting. Are you excited with me right now? Okay, I'm going to read this then if you are. If you weren't, I thought I might as well skip over it. Romans 7:25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Whew. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. James 4:1 also tells us the nature of the flesh is located in our physical body. He says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? See, there's a warfare going on within ourselves, and we're the ones who choose. We're the ones. Locked up in the minds of all of us are many things, aren't there? There's many things locked up in our minds. There are secrets that no one will ever know. Some of us, and maybe all of us, got secrets that only you and God and us know. Nobody else does. In our minds, it's in here. And there are fears we don't admit and that we hope remain undiscovered. There are no, and we know there's doubts. Doubts about ourselves, doubts about others, maybe even doubts about God are in our minds. And it is these secret recesses of our minds that the battle rages on, because it's always there. It's always there. And Paul refers to this battlefield as a carnal mind. It says in Romans chapter 8, verses 6 and 7, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." Did you hear that? For to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Simply put, our natural selves tend to fight against the things of God. Even as Christians sometimes we'll fight against it. We're at odds with God and his ways and have no way of reconciling those differences on our own. That's why we have people that live on the edge. They know that they're supposed to be living a spiritual life, but yet they don't want to give up this stuff over here. So they live over here. They compromise in their walk with God. And there's that battle raging on all the time. And they're constantly warfaring back and forth, and they know they should be here committed to the Lord, but that battle says, the lust of the flesh, that carnal mind says, yeah, but this is satisfying over here, and I got to do it, and I got to make that choice. The natural man is at war with all things spiritual. When we try to understand the things of God with the natural mind, we will always come up short, always. And the things of God must be received and understood through faith. That's how you and I live, is through faith. Amen? Yes. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that these things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. See, it's faith that we understand the word of God. We need faith. That's why the world, when they don't understand this word, I mean, I've had people say to me, why do you want to go to church on every Sunday? Why do you want to pay tithes? The preacher's just getting rich. I'm not. In case there's any minds out here thinking. I'm not. I'm not getting rich. Here's my $5 bill That's it right there. That's as thick as it ever gets. Most of them are medical cards, eh? See, man may exhaust all of his resources, amen? All of his knowledge, all of his technology, and still never understand the ways of God. I just spoke with a man, intelligent man, recently about, he told me that he was trying to figure out how God could do this and why this happens in nature. And he says, I got to get an understanding with science and God in order to believe. And I said, you're wasting your time, sir. You're wasting your time. You could be dead and in hell before you're going to find the answers out. I said, don't be a King Agrippa. Almost persuaded. Because I told him, you'll never figure out God. Nobody ever will. Nobody. The most genius, smart person in the world can never figure God out because God created that genius anyway. See, it doesn't make sense that a spoken word could create a universe to you and I, does it? Let there be earth, and there it is. We can't figure that out. And some people will use that as an excuse for not serving the living God. But I just read to you, through faith, we understand. Lord, you said it, so I believe it. I know my mind. See, there's that warfare again. There's that warfare. Yeah, but it just can't happen that way. It's got to be an explosion and some jelly. But God says, just believe me, trust me. I am the creator, and I speak something, and it will be there. I say, yes, Lord. We only believe and understand these things through faith. It is precisely here that we face our biggest battles also. We have been taught those actual events of creation from the Bible since we were small. In fact, I just was watching a Western last night, and the lady was reading the Bible, or teaching her little boy how to read the Bible. And he was talking about creation. And he said, Mommy, how can the earth be created? He asked her a question, just what I got finished saying here. And you know what she said? Oh, honey, it's just stories. And that's how the world thinks. It's a storybook. That's why I always kind of, instead of saying the story in the Bible, I like to say actual event. Even though it is a story, I like to say that because some people use that as an excuse for not serving God. They say, it was just a story. That's all it is. No, it's an actual event that happened. The Creator was there at the beginning of time, and he said, let there be light. Yes. And there was light. Yeah. And many of us have worked through the doubts that we may have and now embrace them with faith. We have to with faith. I don't try to understand how everything is in the Bible and how it all works out. Only God can do that. But faith is not just for the past. Romans 1:17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. See, that's how we get our revelation of who God is, his character, and who he is in Scripture, is through faith. We just, Lord, you said it, I believe it, I don't understand it, I can't figure out how you could do something like that, but by faith I believe it. There's nobody here can figure out why Jesus would come from heaven's glory and come to earth and hang on an old rugged cross and being tortured and beaten and humiliated in all the things that happened to him for the sin of mankind. But he did it. I can't figure it out, but by faith, I believe God did it because Scripture tells me that he loved us so much that he sent Jesus. See, we must learn to go from faith to faith, people. And that, God confirms it in his word, too. He says, you can find this in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. You can find it in Galatians 3:11. You can find it in Hebrews 10:38. All of them speak that the just shall live by faith. And you must take the faith we have relegated to the past and appropriate for today also. Because there's things happening even around us in our world that we cannot comprehend and understand it, and we just accept it by faith. And some of the things that happen to you and happen to me, we can't wrap our minds around it, but we just say, Lord, I'm going to trust you by faith, saying that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Amen. I'm going to trust you. I don't understand it. I can't see, Lord, how you could permit it, but I'm going to trust you by faith. The just shall live by faith. Amen. I want to insert that amen to make sure that you're awake and that you're listening.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, we're out in that world how many hours a week? Yeah. And we come in here for an hour or so. And with my short messages, you need to get as much as you can. Because I want to be like, who is that Paul who preached so long that somebody fell out the window? Yes. Never get away with it. See, in Hebrews chapter 11, faith occurs 24 times in chapter 11 alone. 24 times. If you get a King James, some of them have taken some of those words out. So I'll say, if you get a King James, 24 times with the great theme of it's true saving knowledge. And you'll find that in chapter 10, verse 39. And then again, how to live by faith in chapter 10, verse 38. And it will produce works of faith that demonstrate its reality and describes it. Also in James, and you can read, I'm not going to take the time from chapter 2, 14, all the way through 26. It teaches us how to live by faith and how to trust our Lord. And to do that, we must win the battle of our minds. Get over the mind thing. Don't try to rationalize everything in Scripture out. And so you say, I got to know it and understand everything. You'll never do it. You'll never do it because God is God. And there's things in there that we don't understand. And no theologians. There's theologians that don't know the whole Bible. You can talk to some of them. Even the smartest ones. They don't know everything in the Scripture. They just accept it by faith and saying, God said it, it must be so. Amen. See, that's keeping the faith without losing your mind. Our text in Romans chapter 12, again, 1 through 2, was a passage many of us could quote that one. And I want to look closely real quickly at a couple of words. Paul said the living sacrifice that we present to God was our reasonable service. Our reasonable service. And reasonable in the Greek here is from which we derive the word logical. Logical. And the word service is the Greek referring to service as a priest. Logical. Our logical service to the Lord as priests. That's what reasonable service is. Our logic. Using logic. It says in 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And it's a choice based on our reasoning, our abilities, our ability to think or to rationalize. God gave this to us. And he leaves it up to us to do that. Amen? Amen. Listen to the psalmist wrote in Psalms 148, 3 and 5. Brother Bob, I just mentioned this to you. We were talking about the snow out there. How many love this snow out here? I guess one, two, only two of us. Okay. Well, three with my hands up, I guess. Maybe you'll think differently after I read these two scriptures. Praise ye him. Psalms 148, chapter 3, verses 5. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of the light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Now listen to this one. Psalms 148, 7 through 10. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deep, fire and hail and snow and vapors and stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Mountains and hills and fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Praise ye the Lord. That snow out there is doing what God told it to do. He created it. You know, I may have mentioned this. When we were growing up, my dad, he always cursed the clouds when we were on the farm. He had this beautiful corn crop and everything, and he'd see these big black clouds coming out of the west. We lived in South Dakota. And he told us, after he told me this, after he had become a Christian, And he said, he found it in the Old Testament. And he said, I never knew that was in there. But he said, I used to stand out in the fields and curse the clouds. And he didn't realize he was bringing a curse upon his crops. And he said, after he read that, he never quit complaining about the weather again. Because everything has a purpose in this world. and God permits it, allows it, and they're commanded to do what he's called them to do. All creation was created to praise God in how they function. For God says he commanded. Only mankind is given the ability to make rational decisions to praise God. Isn't that something? Only mankind. We have the ability to make rational decisions in every facet of our lives. God gave us that and created us that way. Fire, hail, snow, vapor, mountain, trees, and hills, they can't decide to serve God. They can't do that. It is this decision that we battle because we do have that ability. And choice is only mankind has that ability. We are the only one creature that has that ability to make those choices. Choices that you can make individually. God told Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 and 28, "Behold, I set before you this day and a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandment of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. But turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known." Isn't it easier to obey? And God only says it for our good. He isn't saying it because he's trying to control us. He's saying because you go after other gods, you're going to destroy yourselves. But I'm going to leave it up to you. If you want to play with tarot cards and occult stuff and you want to do all that stuff, you go ahead and do it. But I'm telling you right here, there'll be a curse. He gave Israel a choice. Joshua 24:15. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." What does it say? "Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." There's a choice again. Teenagers today make bad choices because they're still mush minds. And it takes mom and dad and grandpas and grandmas and stuff to guide these children in the way according to the word of God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, 20, verses 24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." See, today the church says, you want to be a follower of Jesus? But they don't mention to pick up your cross and deny yourself. Doesn't say that because that's negative. That'll bring negative thinking. But they say, do you want to be a follower? That's why these churches get so many people in these big churches that raise their hand and they say, look at here, we got 15, 30, 40, 50, 60 people that gave their lives to Jesus today when they raised their hands. But they didn't mention repentance, and they didn't mention that you need to deny yourself and pick up your cross every single day in order to follow God. You start telling people like that, and you're going to see hands drop down. That's why churches like Crossfire, when we make a call for salvation, we tell them the truth. We tell them the whole story, not just the parts that they want to hear. Amen? Yeah. You're still with me now.
Amen.
Now, God's called you in here.
Amen.
So, you gotta hear what I'm saying. Amen?
Amen?
Now, if you throw something, I can duck fast. Hallelujah. Lord, I lift up that person right now that is in here that is battling in a raging storm going on in their mind. I pray for them right now, Lord, that your healing and your peace and your comfort will be with them. See, when we make the choice to follow Jesus according to what he accomplished on the cross, it's reasonable service. It's logical. It's serviced for the Lord. It is rational decision prompted by the faith in God's word, by the Holy Spirit. Anything less leads to a shallow experience that will not last. And too many Christians today are living on emotion rather than faith. And that's why they can come and they can go and they can do this and they can do that, because it's all emotion and how they feel that morning, that day, whatever. But by faith, when you walk in faith and believing what God said in the seriousness parts of the scripture too, we choose to obey, to do the things that will protect our family and ourselves to live out our spiritual life. Amen?
Yes.
It's a rational decision prompted by the faith in God's word. When the emotion is gone, so is the commitment. And I see that a lot. When the event is over, the excitement is gone. I remember, how many have ever been to retreats? Huh? Do you know what a retreat is? For whether it's older people or younger people, whatever. You go there, and man, don't you get fired up? Man, the preacher's on fire, the guest speaker's on fire, the people are on fire in there because they're away from the church. Their hair is down, they got their old ragged blue jeans on and their flannel shirts and whatever. And they're all excited praising God because we're praising God, having a great time. And the message just raises up, and these people are so full of faith when they leave and they get home. And that evening when they get home, I'm home. Battle starts. I'm back to my problems. I'm back to my situations of life. The storms of life are still here. They're still here, and I'm still here. I still got the same things I'm dealing with here. And pretty soon the emotion's gone. Rather than being full of faith, they got themselves full of emotion. That's why, you know, I'm excited for the people who come Sunday after Sunday to church, because they know they need to be here. And it's not an emotional thing. You know you have to be here. And you do. You and I need to be here. You know, you'll hear the screaming of people say, "You don't have to go to church. I am the body of Christ." You ever hear that? I hear it all the time. No, you're part of the body of Christ. The whole body together makes the body of Christ. And if you're not here, you're not part of the body here. You separated yourself. And we need to do what God said. Jesus said to come together. Yes. Paraphrasing. See, true repentance is rational decision. Did you know that? It's a rational decision. Some repent for fear. Others repent for convenience. And still others repent because they were caught. But true repentance is, by definition, a changing of one's mind, thinking a different way. And that's why Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The renewing of your mind. The life-changing power of repentance rests in the fact that we change or renew our mind. That's what true repentance does. That's what it does. It's life-changing. When you give true repentance, your life literally changes. I know when I repented of my sins and I came to Jesus Christ, I became a different person. I changed my mind on everything, the way I thought, the way I did things, the way church, you quit the dead churches you were in that didn't preach the gospel because it wasn't fulfilling. It didn't feed you and accomplish what was going on in that repentance of life-changing events. See, that's how you keep the faith without losing your mind. You renew it. You renew it. We must win the battle over the carnal thoughts that lie dormant in our minds. It's an ongoing process. It's daily, people. It's hourly, even moment by moment. We must renew our minds because there's things coming in battling us constantly. And that's where we need to take the word. That's the importance of reading the word regularly on a daily basis, because when you do that, the Holy Spirit will help you to renew your thinking, the thoughts. How many saw in the news just recently, the guy got out, jumped out of his car on Interstate 35 down there and shot a school bus driver? Hmm? anger took over. You know, when I get angry, what the Holy Spirit does, he lets me see it, know it, and say, you know, you got to change right now, buddy. He didn't say, buddy, I did. Well, maybe you could say, buddy, I don't know. But anyway, that's what changed me. I made a rational decision. Okay, Lord, I'm not going to get mad right now. I'm not going to get angry. I choose not to do that because you said to be angry and sin not. I'm not going to do it. I want to. I want to club the dude, but I'm not. Because you said not to do it. See, I can make a rational decision. It isn't easy. That's the battle. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 10:5, and I'm closing down quickly here. Well, not quickly, I'm closing down. Casting down, what's it say? Casting down imaginations. Yes. Cast them down. Cast those imaginations down. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringeth it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. You cast them down. Everything that's contrary to what the devil would even put in your mind, even though it's you sometimes doing it, but the demons of hell will come along and discourage or whatever. You cast those thoughts down because you and I can sit in a church service like this and we can have thoughts that come across that we know are not from God. But we can cast them down through the power of God, through his word. The spiritual list of weapons ordained by God may not appear impressive outwardly, but to a humanistic society, they don't understand what we're talking about, the weapons of our warfare. But it is only those that can pull down the strongholds of Satan in this world that we live. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's why I quote the word of God. If there's something I'm really struggling with, man, get into the word. Take the word of God. Preach the word to yourself. Do it out loud. You know, maybe you even need to slap yourself. Get it back on track. Colossians 2:8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And there's plenty of people out there willing to give you advice on that Bible stuff is ridiculous. And some Christians fall for it. But I tell you what, God's got the answer to everything in your life. Amen. Everything. And I've identified the battle is the mind. And we've established that the choices we make determine the outcome. Every choice you and I make, we'll see the results of the outcome. And you may think, this one time doesn't hurt. Oh, if I do it this way, that's okay. It's contrary to the Holy Spirit might even say, well, that isn't what I said. But I want to do it. And we got to remember, if you want your mind renewed, you need to do it God's way. Because, see, God knows. Who's smarter, you or God? Yeah, he is. Who's more wise? You, I. Do you want to depend on your own wisdom or do you want to depend upon the wisdom of God? The devil wants you to depend upon your own wisdom and your own thoughts because you are a sophisticated human being and you're educated and you know all the words. You say them all in right order, in the right way. But what's God say? That's who we listen to. We make that choice. But let me just say about the battles that we fight and how to be victorious. There are some things we believe that about God that are erroneous. I mean, if we allow wrong thoughts to fester in our minds, and people do, they allow their thoughts to fester in their minds, and it'll prevent us from rendering that reasonable service to God. Excuses for not serving God is because we start to fester in our minds the thoughts that come in there. And there are some of you who have determined in your minds that you're too bad for God to love you. There's people that we've had them in crossfire here. Some of them just come last Sunday and they're gone. That's why I preach the word, because you never know how it's going to affect them wherever they end up at. But they think that God can't love them. or because of past failures, or because of some horrific sin in your past, you feel you're not worthy of the grace of God. Well, Jesus came all the way to earth and died on Calvary's cross, and that's a poor excuse, and that's your choice to think that way, but God did not say that in His Word. Isn't that awesome? If you do it God's way, doesn't there joy and peace and calm come in when the devil comes and says, you're not worthy, you're worthless. You can't do anything, like Opie said to Aunt B. You can't do anything. You don't know anything. But see, God does care. And if you're sitting in here this morning and you think to yourself and the enemy's putting that thought, or you're choosing to put that thought in there for a reason, that God doesn't care about me as He does somebody else. God loves us all equally. God doesn't pick and choose. He loves His creation. He loves His creation. He sent His Son all the way through eternity to here because He loves us. And He said, whosoever will come unto me, I'll no wise cast out. He didn't say only certain people come unto me. He said, whosoever will. Isn't that what a creator we have? Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Every time you think you've gotten the victory, the past comes back to defeat you. That's how the enemy works, and that's how you and I think too. Because this is the battleground. But it's time you realize that the God I'm preaching about is a God of love. He's a God of love, people. Did you hear that? Bob said it this morning. We need to pray for more love. We really sincerely do, because our God is a God of love. And how do we get that love? Through prayer and being in the Word, and we learn the character of our God. And Jesus said when we see Him, we're going to be like Him. We should be loving people. Amen?
Amen.
Not choosing to tear each other apart or think negative, because that's contrary to what God did. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And He did not come to destroy us. If you find yourself in sin, God is not looking to come, I'm going to get you now, I'm going to destroy you now because you blew it. No. Every time He says when we've sinned, we can cry out, Abba, Father. And we can ask for forgiveness. And it says He is faithful and just to forgive. God understands when unwelcoming thoughts come into our minds, even if right in the middle of a church service. I remember as a new Christian, thoughts would come into my mind. I think, man, wow, how can I think that while I'm sitting in church? But that's how the enemy works too. Isaiah 23, when that happens, I'm going to give you a gospel. Isaiah 23, 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Isn't that a great pill to swallow? How can you get mad at that? In John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that that the world through him might be saved. That it was all finished on Calvary's cross, people. Amen. That's what God did. Even though one politician blew that scripture to pieces because he said it wrong. But for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn it. Don't let the devil lie to your mind. God's not here. He's not here to condemn us. We are in grace. We are in the period of grace, where God is saying, whosoever will. Jesus' one desire for mankind is that they get saved. And if you realize that through faith, accept what the Word of God is to say, make up your mind to serve the Lord, then you're going to be victorious. When you do what God wants to do, you'll have victory. You know, when I listen to people are defeated and downtrodden a lot of times, and they're living in this mud and this grub that God has pulled them out of, it's because that's where they want to be yet, and they haven't chosen to get out of it. And then they come back and cry and whine, and because they're not having the victory. And then when you find out they're still doing the very things God says, come away from it, come out from amongst them, and be ye separate. He said, I've got a way. The way, the truth, and the life. Did you hear that? That's Jesus. He's the life. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. When we choose to go the wrong path. So in conclusion, our greatest enemy is ourself. Our greatest enemy is ourself. Keeping the faith without losing your mind. And what we really need to do is lose the carnal mind. Amen. We need to lose that carnal mind and put on the spiritual mind. The spiritual mind sees through the faith in God's word and chooses to make a sacrifice. Sometimes there's a sacrifice when we want to do God's way. Sometimes when we want to go our own way and do the things that fulfill our satisfaction, but we say, well, Lord, I'm not going to do it because my love for you is so great. I'm going to do what it's going to take to make me become a man or a woman of God. And all Christians should rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit more than their own wisdom. Amen? Amen. Through the gift of the Holy Spirit, all Christians have been given the mind of Christ. If you're struggling in your mind, God has given you the mind of Christ when you've come to Him. It's yours. You can think the way Jesus thinks because of the Word here. And the Holy Spirit can empower that within you. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What a great list of things to go to if you're struggling in your mind. And when you do that, when you start to do these things, pretty soon that sludge that comes up in you that you and I let develop when our minds begins to disappear. Because when you, maybe it's somebody that you dislike, and those thoughts are saying how I could get even, and you're putting thoughts in your mind and you replace that and you say, Lord, I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to say whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. Lord, I'm going to pray for this person right now. I don't want to, but Lord, I pray for them. Touch their life. Bless them. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. Let's all stand, please. As born again followers of Jesus Christ, we should try to think as He would think. Walk as He walked and love as He loved. Amen? And I want to invite you, everyone that wants to come up here, if you've been struggling in your mind, I want you to just come up because one of the things for me, I'm always up here already. I want you to come up to the altar and we'll pray together. If you have struggles in your mind and you say, God, I want to be like you. I want to get control of my thought life and myself. Just come up and stand up here and we'll pray together. Come on. Don't hold back. When you hold back, you miss what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So many Christians hold back because they think, I don't want anybody to know that I'm weak or that I have situations in my life. We already know you do. Because you're human. Come on. Holy Spirit isn't done. You need to be up here. You got negative thinking in your mind, and you're allowing the enemy to use you in ways you shouldn't be used. And you've been holding back. You're saying, no, I'm spiritual. I can handle it. Well, there's a bad thought right there. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. God said in His word, as people are coming up, Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And He said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there is none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin is death, separation from God. Jesus desires to save you. If you're here today and you, even as a Christian, you say, Lord, I need to make it right with you. I need to get my life in order. I need the blood of Jesus to wash my thoughts. You that are up here with me, I'm part of you. I'm up here. I battle. I rage daily. And it can be instantaneous. I may be victorious for a week, a month, or whatever. And then all of a sudden, boom, my mind's going a direction it shouldn't go. And the enemy tries to take control of that. But Heavenly Father, you see the people up here this morning. Lord, we, again, we're needy people, Heavenly Father, but the reason we're up here, Lord, and we want to be like Jesus. Lord, we want to get victory in our lives. We want to walk in our jobs, walk in our homes, walk in our neighborhoods. We want to walk with the anointing upon us, Lord. We want to put our lives in order. And Father, to do that, Lord, help us to get rid of stinking thinking.
That's right.
And Lord, help us to think the things of Jesus thought about. Jesus was always thinking the good of man. He was always thinking how to save him. He was always looking for ways to give forgiveness and healing into people's lives. Even when they spit upon him and they angered him and when they did things, Lord, he was always willing to forgive. And he did. And Lord, we're up here this morning. We're asking you that the Holy Spirit will do a supernatural work in our lives, Father. And Lord, we turn our minds over to you, Lord, that we may have the mind of Christ. Lord, before we think of bad ill towards someone, help us to think of them at the foot of the cross, giving their lives to Jesus. Before we think of doing something that will bring an open door for the enemy to come into our home or into our family, help us to renounce it and walk away from it. Help us to think like Jesus thought. Help us to walk away from the things that Jesus walked away from. Help us to love people the way Christ did. And Lord, we need the Holy Ghost to do that. I pray that for everyone up here this morning, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is moving and convicting our hearts to be like Jesus, not condemning us, but wooing us and guiding us. And the Holy Spirit will always confirm your word, Lord. And so, Lord, I speak the blood of Jesus Christ over every mind that's here, over mine and every mind that's here, Lord. I ask that the blood of Jesus be over our minds, and Lord, that we will begin to think the way Jesus thought and do what Jesus did and walk the way he walked. And we need to do that through right thinking. Lord, help me not to be such an enemy of myself that I turn an enemy against others. But Lord, help me to walk as a man of God. Help me to walk the way you desire me to walk, Lord, as each one of these are praying with me, that we all are men and women of God, that we have the mind of Christ. And every thought we think with your help, even though we know we're still going to have the battle, Lord, that this week there's going to be things that are going to make us think thoughts, and we're going to do it willfully, or we're going to do it by demonic influence, however those thoughts come. We're going to put them before you, Lord, and turn them in to what would Jesus be thinking right now? What would Jesus be walking away from right now? What would Jesus be doing right now at this moment? So, Lord, we surrender our minds to your word. We surrender them right now in Jesus' name. Lord, if there be any in here that you're holding within your thoughts, rebellion, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would help them to release that and confess it to you, Lord, and repent of it and turn from it and surrender totally, that they can see the joy of serving you spiritually, Lord. So many of us, Lord, we miss the joy of serving you, Lord, because we're willfully thinking things contrary to your word. But Lord, we desire to see your supernatural hand in our lives, in our church, in our communities, in our families. And in order for to do that, we need to think God's thoughts. And we thank you for that right now, Lord. Just minister, Lord, through your Holy Spirit to these people right now, Lord, and let them know your love for them and your desire, Lord. Every person standing here that willfully walked up, Lord, I know that you've got some things in their lives that you will work on, as well as mine. And you have good things. You think, the scripture tells us, Lord, that you think good thoughts toward us. Literally, you think good thoughts toward us. So, Lord, let your love manifest right now amongst these people. And let them know that they do have the mind of Christ, and that mind can be activated by choice, by rational decisions. And now, Lord, I ask that you touch every home that's here today. Lord, put your hand of protection around everybody as they drive to wherever they're going, to go back to their homes or wherever. Protect them. Bless their lives, Lord. Help them to become stronger in this late hour of time. Help us to be men and women of God. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's just praise him, people, one more time before you go. Just worship him and say, Lord, what a loving God. What a loving God. What a pure God, a holy God, a righteous God. And Lord, I know is all you have for me is good. Your desire for me is good. Lord, you're not here to hurt us, to destroy us in any way, but to help us to be like Jesus. Glory to your name. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to be doing in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Turn to somebody and say, I have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God.
Strong.